Welcome to Nationality Men, the unofficial Celtic Football Club podcast. I'm your host, the Comedy Snob, and this week I'm joined by Bruce Hellboy to go for the big news, Neil Lennon departs from Celtic. Speech at the end of the show, hail hail. Right, so, Nationality Men are back. We weren't sure when the next podcast was going to be. We were going to do a World Cup one, end of season special, then we were going to take a break, so we could get things for next season sorted, and I could maybe sort out a new hosting thing, because the hosting's been a bit squirrely, but we'll talk about that in private time. But then, today, something interesting happened. Bruce Hellboy, special guest, could you tell us what happened today?
Well, basically, we got the manager list.
Yep, our beloved Neil Lennon, beloved of this podcast, sadly left Celtic Football Club today. Let's have a moment's silence. Right, okay, that's that.
I finally get rid of Voldemort.
I'm surprised that we've no to blame either on Twitter or like through other things about how it's your fault Lennon's left, but I can deal with that. Right, so I wasn't surprised he left. Were you?
I'm shocked.
Really?
I know I predicted that he's leaving that, but I think I'm actually shocked that it's actually happened so quickly.
Well, the thing is, we'll need to be careful here about what we talk about, but we both know people in the sort of media, let's say, and they were saying they thought he might leave. Well, one of them said to me, I won't name him, but, and then last night, there were reports came, it was in the Daily Mail that within the next 48 hours, Lennon might leave. Then it was in the Daily Record. A strange story that Henrik Larsson's team won't let him be the next Celtic manager. And that was before Lennon resigned. So, I mean, the press must have known about it. I mean, even in the season ticket renewal form, it's usually Lennon that writes the letter, like, renew, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't Lennon, it was Scott Brown. Then Mjalby leaving in April and no replacement lined up. I mean, I think the signs were there that he was going to leave.
I think the signs were there, but I never actually believed he would actually go. You know, because I was talking to somebody on Saturday night, and they'd said that he'd definitely been told that Lennon didn't fancy Norwich, and that he was staying.
Well, can I just say that Neil Adams, right before we started, Neil Adams, who was Norwich's caretaker manager, just got the Norwich job and a 3-year deal. So, I mean, obviously, that Norwich thing was just a red herring because there was stuff in the press all the time. Even last night, that story about him leaving connected to going to Norwich. So, I mean, there must have been crossed wires somewhere, but somebody's obviously been talking. Right, back to you, Bruce. You were saying that he didn't fancy Norwich.
Well, he was told that he didn't fancy Norwich and that if he wanted to stay, but I think with Mjalby leaving, there was a sign there, you know, your assistant just didn't leave, you know, like that. People are saying Mjalby wanted his own person and that, but, you know, at the end of it, still, you know, it creates questions, you know, what's going on. But I'm actually surprised that he's left, and I did think he was leaving to go to Norwich, and I'm quite shocked that he's no. I really don't know if he's just left. If he thinks he's putting as far as he can, if he thinks that's the case, then, you know, fair enough. But I always got the feeling that the only way he was going to leave is if he had another job lined up.
It surprised me. I was talking to a guy who was at the last game of the season, and he said that he thought Lennon's speech was so sort of inconsiderate that he was definitely going to leave. But then I thought, like, after the last week passed, before the cup final and nothing happened, I thought, I think he'll probably end up staying. Because I thought if he was going to leave, he'd announced it on the pitch in the last game of the season. Because you know how he always loves these big occasions.
I was sure that
he was going to announce he was going to leave at the end of the season, in the last game of the season. That'd have been better sort of, you know how he loves all the adulation and stuff, and he would have loved that public farewell, and it would have been dragged out all night, and there'd been a big celebration about Lennon. I thought if he leaves, that's what he'll do. But then something must have happened between the end of the season, a week and a half ago, and today. for Lennon just to leave. And even the thing that sticks out for me is that it wasn't Celtic that announced he had left. It was Lennon's agent or his advisor, Martin Riley. He put it to the press release. It wasn't Celtic, so I think Celtic may have been caught in the hop, and Celtic didn't know that he was going to leave.
Surprised me as well, because obviously I showed you the change he'd made to his Facebook.
Aye.
And Celtic hadn't even made a statement. So, I mean, that's where I got the idea that, you know, he's working with Takea. You know, he's leaving because he's going somewhere else. So, but as you say about the speech and that, I think he just thought, I'm going to, like, because he never even mentioned me, Albie. You know, he never even said, oh, this is, you know, around there, plus a big Johan for 4 great years. A service, he never. I did that, I think he just thought, I'll leave it to the players, and I think we were all hoping for a big, you know, I'm leaving celebration thing, but I think genuinely just think he's thought, no, I'll just leave it to the players, let them go on with it, and I think he's his mind made up for a while.
I mean, I don't think the players know about it, because some of them have been tweeting about it the day, so I mean, he must have kept it very quiet and told hardly any people.
I need a man of very few. But I don't think he tells people a lot of stuff, you know, I think he keeps it kind of close to himself and maybe for 3 or 4 people.
He just tells his many girlfriends.
But I genuinely, because as we seen last week, he went, was it 41 for an audit job, didn't he, 1-4 in the space of 40 hours? And people said, oh, it's just because he had a fake tweet and that, but you know, obviously something has got to, you know, something's got to have said something for that to happen, because the bookies are nearly stupid. So, maybe they've heard that he's leaving Celtic and they've put 2 and 2 together. I don't know, but for him to actually go, I'm a wee bit. I'm surprised. I'm no liar. I'm surprised that he's decided to leave, especially if he's not got an honest job lined up. He might have another job lined up, you know, who knows?
Well, the ex Celtic dud, Adam Virgo, was on Twitter and he said that he heard he was the next Brighton manager. Then he said, no, I'd like him to be the next Brighton manager or something. But I mean, it is a bit of a shock, obviously, a happy shock. We'll talk about that at the end. But, I mean, why do you think he's left? Do you think it's... Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think he's failed with the board. I mean, and either the plan to sell... Well, we all think Forster's going to leave anyway. And they're maybe planning to sell Van Dijk and he's not happy about that. Or they've said to him the budget isn't good. He thinks the budget he's getting for new signings isn't good enough. And it was on BBC website that apparently he's got misgivings that we're going to be able to qualify through the Champions League qualifiers with the squad we've got. So I think that he called the board's bluff today, and that's how it took them so long to bring out the rain statement. They never brought it out until, I think, between 5 and 6, and Lennon left around about lunchtime today. So, I mean, I think the board were definitely caught in the hop today.
But that just shows you the kind of guy he is then. You know, if he's letting his agent, everything should be done through the club. That annoys me a wee bit, that his agent came out and said, you know, Neil Lennon, I have parted company with Celtic. You know, it should be Celtic have parted company with Neil Lennon. That's how they should be. I don't get why he's coming out and doing it himself, which would obviously suggest that maybe there is a problem with the board. But I just think, for 4 years, it's been great, you know. I'm going to go the new whilst they still love me, because it, you know what it's like. The last year, a lot of people that supported of Lennon have started to kind of look back and go, well, wait a minute, you know, we should be doing a lot better here. And now he's going to have his loyal fans and that, and fair play to them. But he's obviously, 4 years is plenty for somebody that's never really had, you know, 100% backing, apart from maybe his first season.
Well, that is still a bit of a shock, really. You're right. I mean, we seem to have been talking about Lennon non-stop, how much we admire him, of course, for the last 4 years, and then all of a sudden he's away. Right, let's look at his time as Celtic manager before we start talking about replacements. I think, he has done a good job, I suppose, in Europe. I'd say in Europe he's done a better job than domestically. In Europe, he had that legendary win against Barcelona. The legendary win against Barcelona, the win against Spartak Moscow, our first away win in the Champions League, I think was a bone important win. And I mean,
that was my favourite.
We beat Spartak at home as well, and we qualified for the Champions League last 16. We were terrible against Juve, but I mean, fair play to Lennon for getting us there. I mean, even his second season after Sion embarrassed us, but then get knocked through the Europa League. When we were in the Europa League, we didn't disgrace ourselves. We could have got through it after Christmas in it. We were unlucky against Udinese. His first season in Europe was a write-off, really, against Braga and Utrecht. But the signs were there this year in the Champions League that things were starting to go wrong. I mean, we've talked about it before, but the qualifiers were atrocious. I mean, Cliftonville, fair enough, easy, but Elfsborg was a struggle. And then football legend Shakhtar Garagandy was a nightmare. I mean, the away performance was one of Celtic's worst ever in Europe. And I mean, if they hadn't hit the bar for a shy, they could easily have knocked us out at Parkhead. So, I mean, that the warning signs were there. And then in the actual Champions League ourselves, I mean, apart from a good display for about 60 minutes against Milan and Milan, we played okay-ish against Ajax at home. Played okay-ish, I suppose, against Barca at home, but didn't really do much. Every other performance was pitiful. I mean, Ajax away was terrible, and even worse, that really, really crap Milan team coming to Parkhead and beating us 3-0, no sweat. I mean, the warning signs were there that this season, if it stayed, would have been, if we go to the Champions League, would have been the same. Would have just ended up getting humped again?
I agree with you, but you said there a lot about that. I think the first season, we did with Braga, you know, Braga were quite a good team. Aye. And, you know, we were, I think, Lennon made maybe 4 or 5 signings by this point. And Braga were ready for it, and we won this, and they caught us cold. And they beat us, you know, and we got in Utrecht. We beat them, I remember we played Utrecht at home, and we've got a really good team here. You know, when we beat them 2-0. Efren Larez was running riot, and Samaras was running, and Big Nestorovic played really well. And I thought, so mate, we've got a good team here. And then a week later, you know, that finished it. And I just thought that in Europe, it was a wee bit like Mowbray, where, you know, they should be doing better, but teams are just running out of tap with them. And then when Sion beat us as well, I just felt another Braga or another Utrecht. But then when we actually got in, as you say, you know, we competed well. You know, we played really well in Madrid against Atletico Madrid, and we played really well, but we lost a goal after 2 minutes, like we're normal in Europe. And that really set us back, because we played some great stuff that night. And I thought, God, we're actually not a bad team here. Obviously, the league was on a bit of a down, and Europa League was kind of the escape. And the Udinese game at home, we played really well. He'd done a dodgy penalty in the last minute, but then when we played Rennes away, we got a draw, and we should have won that game. We were by far the better team that night. I thought, we're actually not too bad in Europe under Lennon. You know, he said it was hard to beat, but we actually carry a bit of a threat. We looked dangerous every time we got the ball. But then, you know, obviously they put the Europa League in that, but and we were unlucky to stay in because we played really well in the Denizia that night. But then the Champions League, we coasted by the qualifiers, and you get into the group stage, you think, mate, it's a tough group, but we competed well. And I don't see why you can look at the previous 2 years and then turn around and excuse this year, because I would say that this year's Champions League group was a lot easier than last year's. We're never ever going to get a better time to play AC Milan. Barcelona have sacked their manager. The manager's clearly out his comfort zone. Like, Barcelona are a great team, but Milan, worst Milan team I've ever seen. Ajax weren't up too much either, and you know, that was a really good chance for us. And people would like, you know, people go on about reputations and, like, Milan are a big team and Ajax are a big team. I said, but so are Celtic. And why should we accept that 90 minutes in Amsterdam? That completely ruined any good feeling that we got for the previous year's Champions League campaign. That was a disgrace. That was the worst I've ever seen Celtic play. And there's been too many times where I've come away thinking that's the worst I've ever seen Celtic play under Lennon, not just in Europe, but in other competitions as well. So, it's, I think overall you've done a good job. You know, 3 leagues is great, you know, but it should have been 4. And I was never 100% comfortable with Neil Lennon being Celtic manager, I must admit.
Well, I'd agree with that, but let's talk about then the domestic trophies now. 5 trophies won, a possible 13. With competition, full competition, and a complete season for Rangers in one of these seasons. I mean, not good enough. If we look at the league, if we look at the league races, I mean, the actual titles we've won, there has been a league race for half the season before Rangers were in administration. And like we've done great to claw back that lead Rangers had. But then, by the end of the season, Rangers had fell to bits. The first season, of course, when we should have won the league, we went up to Inverness and went to bits, as we often do. And the cups, really poor. I mean, 2 cups won. Countless. Terrible. In fact, for the start of Lennon's time, the cups have been poor. I mean, Ross County, Hearts, Kelly, St Mirren, Morton, of course, Aberdeen, of course. I mean, that'll probably go down. I mean, the Champions League, you can say, okay, I mean, that's a hard competition. It's much better than we usually play. But, I mean, the Cups is definitely the biggest black mark, I'd say, in Lennon's time here. He's won 2 Cups, I think, a possible 9 or something. That's atrocious when you look at the competition that's here, like I've got.
Domestically,
they
started
off
really well,
didn't
they? They just
won
the first
9 games. That was his
first season, aye. Then, obviously, Rangers beat us, but then people say, oh, we get beat off Hearts a couple of weeks later, but then we went on a 23 or something match unbeaten run. But I'm saying, no, well, we drew about 4 or 5, maybe 6 games there, which ultimately played a part in costing us the league out here. And the team were given so many chances to go on and win the league out here. And aye, what happened after part with Lennon was a disgrace, and he did well to stick the job after it. But if you give a team one chance, you know, all you need to do is win the last three, four games of the season, you'll win the league. Teams like Celtic, players like that should be able to take that chance. And just there's too many, as you say, the cups, like that Hearts game, you know, if accidents went to happen, you know, St Mirren, we could all see it coming. And Marnock in the League Cup final, you know, there's absolutely no way Celtic should be losing League Cup finals and no, you know, 2 chances in the whole game. Just really daft team decisions, you know, selections. Drapping Samaras for the League Cup final against Kilmarnock, you know, when he played Forest, who never kicked his own arse the whole game. And just too many times you've come away with your cup game, especially this season as well, saying, do you know what, teams obviously don't fear Celtic as much as they used to. I mean, that's just, you know, that's obvious, but It's like teams actually genuinely believe they're going to beat us in cup games because they definitely take their eye off the ball, haven't they? Denying that, haven't they? Getting away with it.
No, what's interesting is, like, the team in the league especially only played well, I mean, really well, in, like, a run of games at a time. If we look at Lennon's first season, I mean, as you were saying, we had that run, I think it was between Christmas and until Motherwell beat us 2-0, where we won like 10 and 11 games in a row, we were playing brilliant. The second season, we went on that, like, I think 23 match winning run, claw back the league. And then, like, the season before last, we didn't really play well at all. This season there, we only really started playing well after Christmas. So, I mean, like, there was an awful lot of, there was periods of brilliant play in the league and periods of really dull play in the league. But then we can get away with it now because there's no competition. You're breaking up, Bruce. You'll need to start again. Right, okay. No. You're still breaking up. Hold on.
Stop talking.
Right, okay, that's it.
I just in first year, I was saying, like, maybe, I think we won majority of the games by 1 goal in the first 9 games. I seem to remember a couple of close away games. Could be United, Kilmarnock, Motherwell.
I think so.
But I thought to myself, and Inverness, the first game of that year, we won 1-0, and I thought, you know, they're digging out 1-0 wins. They're not playing this Mowbray, scoring 3 goals, scoring 4 goals, and conceding 4 goals. You know, they're actually playing good. They're not playing great football, but Lennon's learning. And then I thought he cracked it when we get Kyle back and we went to Ibrox and won, and I thought, God, he's cracked it, he could be here for years. And then just daft draws, and we threw that weekend there, didn't get away with it. But then the second season under Lennon, we were really poor in the league to start with, and then he turned it around to be fair to him, but that was when the whole ego started.
Aye. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, as I always say, the free each game at Kilmarnock is when I lost faith in him, because he came out after the game wanting all the credit for a freak seven minute cameo by his team.
Aye.
He came out and said, oh, the biggest team taught in my life at half time. Well, how come the team never even looked like scoring until the 71st minute? And how come you just sat there until it was 3-2 and then got out your chair and shouted, oh, one more? You know, that for me was when I started to think, you know, I'm not 100% comfortable, but now I'm starting to not like you, because now you're demanding credit. You know, now you're looking for praise for results, and then Stevie Thompson scored the 93rd minute at Ibrox equaliser, and I'm going, that saved Lennon's job rather than anything Celtic did today. And aye, you did great to claw it back, but you look at when we beat Rangers 1-0, when Ledley scored, he's in the Sky Studio after the game, taking all the applause. But when we get beat, you know, he's wanting to blame somebody else, and you know, you need to take the praise with the criticism, you can. And we were great that year, and Celtic were great to watch, but it was just, I couldn't help thinking, you know, that he's really lucky, you know, he's really, really lucky that this has happened, and I've no doubt that he put a lot of work into it, and he's turned players like Samaras and Mulgrew, he's turned them round, but I'm just sitting there going, you're just doing this to annoy me, because I really dislike you, you know. And I hate saying that about Lennon, because I like Lennon as a player, and I wasn't my first choice for manager, but I get right behind him, because Mowbray ruined my 6 year at school, so anybody but Mowbray deserved time. But I just watched Mowbray in every week, and I was sitting going to myself, I don't like him, and it was just these interviews, and it was like, oh, well, I did this, I did that, and just, it really just, that commandment game bugged me. And people are letting him get away with that, and just ruined me. And to be fair, they clawed it back by about 4 points before they went into the ministry. So I don't think they'd have lost the league because of what it's about. But at the end of the day, last year and this year, the league was good this year, you know. But it was the leaking of internally as a club. You should have a target each season, right? If it's 100 goals or 100 points, that's fine. But these targets have been leaked out to the public it's just a way of getting the fans to keep going to the games. It was to keep people saying Neil Lennon's doing a good job. And when you know, we reached 100 goals, we kept falling short of all these different targets, you know. So it's been, you know, Gordon is one of the luckiest managers, but because he didn't make competition, but that's not entirely his fault.
Aye.
But I think people need to remember, you know, the circumstances with Lennon. You know, history will be kind to him, but from Kilmarnock in 2011 till now, I've just always thought that he's wanting his ticket, and this, I'm a big Celtic man. Me and you are Celtic men.
We certainly are.
People that listen to us are Celtic men, and they'd do the job as well. So for Lennon, he's always played to that, you know, big Celtic fan thing, whereas a new, people are getting at that, oh no, he's obviously fell out with the board, it's the board's fault, but whatever, you know, good luck to him in the future, but I hope he's not back anytime soon.
I actually don't think he was a Celtic man until the game here, but that's a different matter. One of his biggest problems, I suppose, the offer managers like this, was his ego, though. I mean, I know football managers always bum their sale up, it's brilliant. I mean, look at Jose Mourinho, but the thing is, Jose Mourinho's won countless league titles and Champions Leagues. Neil Lennon, hasn't he? But
he's just another, it's Tim Sherwood, he's just an Irish, British.
He is like Tim Sherwood. I sort of rent a coat to get, but Tim Sherwood hasn't got his own official calendar or official shop. I mean,
why bring out a 12-month calendar if you're only going to be here for 6 of them?
I've already sent it back. We're complaining email. Aye, no, but I mean, even like the way, I know football managers do this, but the way he deflected blame every time we lost a big game was just a pain in the arse. I mean, he always, I suppose football managers do this like Fergus did, but he always was a very bad loser. I mean, look at this, the semi-final and cup final, I mean, against Hearts and Kelly. That was a terrible decision against Kelly, against Hearts, but I mean, he was on the pitch and going on, and I mean, against Kelly, when Stokes just shot and decided not to, and then he was getting our mate Gio. He asked me to have a look at his camera to see if it was a penalty or no in the 40. I mean, he really was daft at times. I can't think of a word for it. And I mean, even this year with the unbeaten run, which him and the players kept going about, but I mean, nobody else was. In September. When Aberdeen beat us again and that ended, it was going about how it was the ref that caused us it, even though Van Dijk gets sent out for a last man tackle. I mean, I know football managers did deflect bad results, but he did it all the time, and it was a bit wearing by the end. I suppose when he first came here, it was like, oh, he's one of us, and all that guff. But I mean, as times went on, it is wearing, his constant deflections and denials, and it's the ref, it's this, it's that. I know people lapped it up, but it was getting boring, really, wasn't it?
I don't mind, like, I'm deflecting blame if you get the sense that the team are playing. See, if the team are playing a sense of injustice, that's great. You know, I don't mind that because they'll try harder. But I don't even think it was, like, excuse the, like, defending the players, deflecting blame for the players. It was deflecting blame for yourself. You know, that was what I got for it. He didn't come out and go, oh, you know, Hooper missed a great chance, but what about a penalty? We'd be like, I know, but I could have put Forrest or Samaras on with 10 minutes to go, but we'd think about a penalty, I think. And to be on the pitch and that, it showed passion and that, and I was raging about that decision, and looking back on it, I mean, you know, all you've did there is get yourself into more trouble, you know, get banned again, probably. And just, why would you have a word with a referee and the room? You don't need to show the fans you're angry at the decision, you know, you've probably tweeted about that. I thought I'd it was deed on my wallet and I touched it and it moved, so it took me off my foot.
By the way, I forgot about his social media, Twitter bonanza and Facebook and stuff. That's been a bit embarrassing, to say the least, fighting with people on Twitter. And then, of course, that legendary, it was personal, rant on Twitter. Let's not talk about that.
Well, we've seen a lot, I think there's a lot more managers on Twitter now, so hopefully it makes a difference.
Now, before we talk about who he signed, I just thought that if we look at these tactics, if you look at when, let's talk about two cup games. If you look at the game in 2010 at Ibrox against somebody, when we get down to 10 men, when Forster gets sent off, we dominated that game with 10 men. Brown scored, Samaras came on, and Rangers couldn't cope with him. And that, I thought back then, he's got to be a good manager, that he knows how to play tactically. But then if you look at this year against Aberdeen, tactics were horrendous, and he didn't change it. He didn't put Beaton in the midfield. The midfield got destroyed by Will Flood and Barry Robson, two Celtic rejects. And I mean, his solution was to just throw in more tackles that inevitably led to Aldine getting more chances that they missed. But I mean, that to me showed that he doesn't really have his mistakes. I mean, he's done that before. Tried to play with two wingers. It doesn't even work with Celtic at all. But that showed to me that, as I said on the pod with Mr. Stans, who might be hearing for you later, I think he should have. That was time for him to go against after the Aberdeen game. But then I didn't think he actually would. But then, tactically, even if we talk about the Champions League this year, was poor compared to the last year. And I think that the malaise affected him tactically as well as everybody else.
I was just going to say there, I've only ever seen him make two substitutions that have proved to be right, and it was in Spartak when he put Forrest on, when they were in the 10 men, and when he took Kaya off, who was dominating the game at Ibrox, and put Samaras on, and it worked because the team moved the ball a lot quicker. Because as well as Kaya was playing that day, he was carrying the ball from about 10, 15 yards, whereas when Samaras came on, they moved it a lot quicker. And I thought, and the Shoshi actually thought he was a good manager. I think there's a makings any a good manager if he reins his ego in. Definitely, I think he's got potential because you don't have performances like that. I mean, the Barca thing, that was tactically superb, that was tactically sound. You know, but the ego get the better of him. And it's like, obviously, we all like to see Celtic win, but it was like, you know, if the ego's getting bigger and bigger, you know, maybe it's good to take a knock to get rid of him, like Aberdeen, the cup. It's not the fact that he can't make decisions, it's he's too stubborn to make changes because he thinks what he's picked is right anyway.
I mean, that showed really that it has sort of slipped even for last season. But right, let's talk about now, before we bid our farewell to Lennon and talk about who's going to come in next, let's talk about his transfers. And I mean, mixed bag again. Some great signings like Hooper, Wanyama, who we sold on for big profit, Fraser Foster, who we'll sell on for big profit, Van Dijk, who will send on for big profit. Even Alex Ambrose has done well. Ledley, with probably lost money on him, but he was fairly good for at least some of his time here. But really, this season, apart from Van Dijk, is probably the worst signings he's made. I mean, if you think about it, we've signed so many strikers, and they've nearly all turned out to be duds, apart from Stokes to an extent, Hooper, who got sold. And I'm not even going to say Lee the racist because, I mean, it's too early. It's too early for him. But, I mean, Project, Pookie, I know he's not a striker, but Brichter. Have I missed any other terrible strikers?
Just Big Baldy and
Baldy, of course, your favourite. And Daryl Muff, who was signed for some ludicrous amount of money. I mean, striking Oliver Capel, who played one game. I mean, Chad as well, of course, who wasn't a striker, who was no great, let's say. But, and yeah, I mean, I suppose 6 out of 10 of his signings, because he's signed some good players on and we've made huge money. But especially striker-wise, he's bought some absolute duds.
Aye, hit the jackpot with Hooper and
Wanyama.
Wanyama and Foster and Van Dijk, but the signings wise, I think he's been sound. I don't think there's, you know, for every bad player he signed, I think he's signed too good. But I just, if the right was, I don't think if Lennon was there, I don't see any change. I think if it would just say it was Malky McKay, it was manager, I think the same players would have been bought, just the way the scouting system works. But to be fair to Lennon, you know, he did mould these signings into a decent team, and obviously they've all got a lot of respect for him. But no, they have. Like, you can see on the park,
we've got respect for him on the players.
Not the players.
All right, okay, that's fine. Now.
But he's an ability to find a striker, you know, to replace it. But not just that. I thought Brodie was going to be a great signing. I thought, you know.
We're only signing him because Rangers went to him.
Aye. But I thought he was going to be a good player. I had quite high hopes for him.
Well, by the way, we forgot Chris Commons in the good signings. Because we did we did buy him despite Rangers, and he's turned out to be a great player. He's had one bad season. He's no great in Europe, but domestically he's brilliant. So, hats off to him for that.
No, Chris Commons is a good Celtic signing. He's been a good player. But I don't quite agree that him and his missus should be made life members of the board, or Chris Collins should be allowed to do coaching badges at Celtic or that, you know, because, to be fair, you know, these are the same people that don't want him at Arsenal to replace him. But they're not later. Signings wise, Lennon, it's been a success, you'd meant to say. There's been some right howlers, but I think, you know, obviously, we're going to make more money, you know, Burnett's probably going to have a net profit rather than a deficit. So to be fair to Lennon and the board, John Park, they've not done too badly by Lennon. If he is leaving our money, they've not done too badly over the years.
That'll be the biggest legacy of the Lennon years. The players were sold. And the money we got for them. When we look back at the Lennon years, they'll think the Barcelona win, the of course bombs and bullets that he defeated, and the players that were sold.
Did you say something on that, the bombs and bullets, right? That was people denying that was terrible, right? And I say it's at Tynecastle if they get attacked. I think I tweeted it saying, look, if Neil Lennon wants to resign tomorrow, totally fine with that. It'd be great. I think it'd be the best for the best for the guy to get away from it. I even said Lowell should sack him if he won the walk, because it could for the benefit of Neil Lennon's life.
Aye.
But he stayed, he got by it, you know, he got past it, he stayed. And why should that come into consideration when you're looking back at his time?
Shouldn't he, alright? Shouldn't he? And I mean, that was one of the worst.
But he showed immense strength to get through it, right? Let's give the guy credit. He get through that, and he get through it well, and he won the league next year, so fair play to him for that. But that shouldn't deflect from looking back. That shouldn't deflect from his other failings. But, you see, I great first time there, but would, if this happened this year instead, that he's got a wee bit of stock,
the thing is,
he'd be away, in my opinion.
That did lead to a lot of people defending him, because what happened to him was terrible, of course. That did lead to a lot of people forgiving piss poor results and performances, because of like what he's been through, and he's one of us, of course. But
rightly so. You had to wish that on anybody, but I think we're looking at 3 years later. I know it's not a long time, but it's happened. He got over it. He clearly got over it. You know, he got over it. And I'm just, my question would be, if it was to happen this summer, best of the famous Barcelona win and all that, you know, would he stay?
No, would have left. But I mean, it still does affect people, because if you look at the rather embarrassing tributes to him online, as well as like normal ones, people saying like "well done," there's ones like "defeated bombs and bullets." Unbeaten, unbroken, unbowed. I think that's on a Celtic website, actually. But, I mean, that was one of the biggest problems. His cult, the cult of personality about him, where more people were fans of Neil Lennon than actually the team. And I mean,
I said that earlier in the season.
I know. It's all right if that happens when Jock Steen was the manager. Because he transformed Celtic. Neil Lennon, didn't he? But, I mean, that was because of social media, really. That sort of changed the perception of Neil Lennon. That's right.
But obviously there's the other side that, oh, it's great, Lenny, get it right up and, you know, ask them who they're playing at the weekend and that. And that was where he got his support for, you know, was the fact that he was on Twitter tweeting about how he, you know, arguing with people. And people support that because, you know, it was a laugh, you know, we got a laugh at it, you know, that's not why, you know, we got a really good laugh at Neil Lennon, but on Twitter, I got a few good laughs with it, so...
You never know, he might return to Twitter now. News at a loose end. But, so...
I need somebody to cut my grass.
I need somebody to cut my hair. Might get Neil to do it. Diet ginger. No. So, we'll have a last word about Neil Lennon at the end, but we'll talk about the candidates now for the position as Celtic manager. The bookie's favourite, now before we talk about the people, is Henrik Larsson, and then the other candidates, Owen Coyle, David, potentially arrested today, boys, Malky McKay, Jackie Mack. I don't know if I've missed any out of her. Owen Coyle said.
Paul Lambert,
possibly. I don't think there's anybody else. Too early for the likes of Paul Hartley, so we'll just discount him. But I mean, I know you want it to be, well, I know you're in favourite of being Henrik Larsson, and I'm no. So, state your case for King Henrik.
Well, my first choice is It's David Moyes.
Oh, your first choice is David Moyes? I thought it was Larson. Oh, well, okay.
I think any guy that's got £6 million burning a hole in his pocket and he still manages to click a fight in a line bar deserves to be Celtic manager. No, my first choice is Moyes. David Moyes is a good manager. He's had a bad year.
I know you like him. I know you're a fan.
I think Celtic would be the perfect rebound club for him, shall we say. It gets him away from England. He can still be in the Champions League. You know, he clearly enjoyed his time at Celtic as a player. You know, he clearly got a genuine affection for the club. And
I don't know about that.
I think he does. I think he's always spoke well about Celtic. And I know he grew up a Rangers fan.
I thought it was a dirty hun.
Aye, but I don't think he's, you know...
He's no staunch.
I don't think he's a staunch. I think he'd come to Celtic and he's a Celtic man now. And do you know what? I just think he's a really nice, great guy. I'd really enjoy somebody like him being my manager. I think I could get behind it.
I know you were one of the few people on Twitter that constantly defended him last year.
Yeah, well, you don't let somebody go after 12 months, less than 12 months, after having somebody for 26 years. And, you know, I think for Moyes, he's great. You know, that was the thing about Moyes. Everybody wants him to fail at Man United. You know what I mean? There's very few people that want to make succeed. You know, everybody wants to see, because they don't like Man United. You know, they've waited for years for Ferguson to leave. They were desperate to see, you know, they kind of, you know, chew on the other foot with Man United, and they got it because United were really poor this year. But
the players didn't help. I don't think the players wanted to play.
I think Moyes is still a good manager. I think he could get a decent tune out of this squad.
You have to say that the only thing that he wasn't crap at Manchester was the Champions League. I mean, they were dreadful against, was it Olympiacos? Where they nearly get knocked out. But I mean, if you look at the games against Bayern, who were supposedly the best team in Europe at the time, they actually didn't do that bad against Bayern. And I think the mistake they made was that when they took the league in Munich, they gave away a goal about literally a minute later. But, I mean, I would like him to be the manager, but I just think the Celtic board, when they think as high as that. I mean, I think it'll be Malky Mackay. I mean,
I have no problem with that.
I like Malky as well. I mean, I know he's
got absolutely no problem.
I was talking to a Cardiff fan no long ago about him, and he said that he didn't play great football, and he did spend a lot of money. But I mean, there's been rumours about him. He was linked for a Norwich job as well, of course. Lennon and Mackay were the two favourites for it, and none of them got it.
No,
I played for them.
He must have, he was some sort of coaching as well, eh?
I think he might have been managed. I can't remember apart from Norwich. I can't remember apart from Cardiff, but
he's managed, I'm sure he's managed. I think it was Watford, but
he did manage Watford, you're right, he did. He did manage Watford, he did. I'm not sure if he was a coach, but here's an interesting one about him. I think he was waiting to see what happened with West Ham. They were going to sack Sam Allardyce, but they've come up with this mad, he used to play for West Ham and they all like him, didn't he? West Ham came up with a mad scheme that even though Sam plays crap football, he's staying home, but they're going to get an attacking coach. The only thing that's making me think that Malky might not take it, the new if he got offered it, was in case he's waiting to see what's at West Ham, because, like, I know it's hard to say, but they're a more attractive team than others. They're playing in the Premier, playing in London, they're going to move into that Olympic Stadium in a couple of years. I mean, if we want to go for Malky, I think we'll need it soon.
I would have no problem at all with Malky Mackay. I like Malky Mackay. You know, he seems like a decent guy. He's been up, you know, he's always a Celtic man. He played with, you know, wasn't he part of the greatest ever Celtic defence or the greatest ever Celtic team? But,
no.
You know, he's still a big guy. You know, you need to respect him. He got promoted 3 years in a row, and he gets sold every summer back to the Championship.
No, he was actually doing no bad with Cardiff. They were running about the relegation zone, but that Vincent Tan undermined them. And then, of course, they bought Solskjaer and they get relegated. So, I mean, I don't know if Mark would have kept him up.
I would say about Mackay was that was his kind of, you know, martyrdom. You know, he's I'm a great guy, I don't deserve to get sacked. That was his kind of perfect excuse for leaving, you know.
Sounds a bit like your lane.
That's exactly, but I like Malky. I could get behind Malky Mackay. I couldn't get behind Owen Coyle.
No, I mean, I hope it's no Owen Coyle. No, just because he knocked his back before, but I just think he's like yesterday's man, and he's not really been successful. His last job, I think it was Wigan and Bolton. He ended up getting toughed out, so I hope it's no own coil. Jackie Mack, I think it's too early. And I mean, I think if Dundee had continued their good form and even won the cup, they might have thought about Jackie Mack, but they were no great in the cup, didn't they win it? And no Henrik Larsson. I hope it's no Henrik Larsson. I mean, he's one of our greatest players ever. I know Lennon never had any coaching experience when he got the job. I think that was just strange circumstances. But I mean, Larsson, he's managed in Sweden, but not done that well. We're trying to get in the Champions League. And worst of all, I don't want Larsson to ruin his legacy. And the fans will end up going against him, like we always do when things go wrong. Like, if he lost his first game against, who is it again? Rangers. But I mean, I know you'd quite like to be Larsson, but I mean, I think it'd be for the best if it wasn't Larsson.
I would welcome Henrik Larsson with open arms. I would be delighted. I know my first choice is Moyes, but I would be over the moon if Henrik Larsson was the manager of Celtic. I love a guy to bits. There's not an ounce of doubt in my mind that Henrik Larsson would be a successful Celtic manager.
But why, Bruce? Why?
Because he's the greatest guy that's ever walked into Celtic Park. I mean, the guy is just, he's just class. I mean, he's broken legs, get more football knowledge in it than Neil Lennon could ever dream of. He was so smart as a player, he was so skillful, he was such a great player, you know, but he'd heart, he was a winner. You look at that list, right, how many of these guys are as big a winner as Henrik Larsson? I don't think there's any.
Probably not.
You might know, you know, he's not maybe built up to in Sweden and stuff like that, but do you know something? I just love the guy, and I don't see how he would fail, because there's just, he's too good to fail. Doesn't matter what he does in life, he'll never fail at it. You know, and he's contacts in the game as well. You know, let's not forget, he left us and went and won a Premiership and went and won a Champions League. And
true.
He went two La Ligas. The guy's name up, he knows, and he's probably got more football knowledge and he's cut his dreadlocks that he cut off than I could ever dream of having as well. I can't speak highly enough of the guy. And if he comes, I mean, it might not work out, but to me, there's 99% certainty that Henrik Larsson
would
be a successful Celtic manager.
Much as I'd love it to be the case, I mean, I just think it's too big a gamble now, maybe in a couple of years. And
but that, I don't get that. I don't get that, why it was such negativity. That suggests to me that Neil Lennon did such a bad job that people don't want to see another quote-unquote rookie get the job.
No, it's not because the rookie, it's because Neil Lennon's, because Henrik's a Celtic icon, even bigger than Neil Jesus Lennon. Larsson's probably the most popular Celtic player since, I don't know, Jimmy Johnson, I suppose. But I mean, like, Larsson's too big an icon, really, I think, to get the job. I know that sounds a bit strange when you think, like, Billy McNeil, who was a Celtic superstar, get the job. But I mean, no, I hope it's no Larsson, because if it would go wrong, obviously it wouldn't take away the memories of the brilliant player he was, but it would, I don't know, it'd be tarnished a wee bit, the fact that he was...
No, to me, it would be, if it didn't work out, you just shake a guy's horn and say, look, Henrik, it didn't work out, you know, but you
it doesn't work out at Celtic, as you well know, Bruce.
I know, but I just think, we owe Henrik Larsson a chance.
Celtic don't owe MD anything.
On this week, I said, well, that guy did not deserve to be on the losing team that night, and we still carry a debt to him. So
true, Bill. The rest of the team did deserve to lose tonight, Bill. I don't want to talk about Seville, because this is just,
I'm not operated in tears again.
No, I mean, I just hope it's no loss. Much as he's a wonderful guy, I'd rather wait a while until he's proved himself.
You know what I do hope, if that is lost?
What?
I would like to see him bring in people rather than people that I kind of lined up.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I mean, I'm trying to think of like any other guys that have been suggested. I've seen Morton Vikhorst suggested.
I've seen Loudrop play Vikhorst, but he's assistant.
No, the former Rangers megastar Brian, obviously Michael.
Michael, the good one.
Ah, he'd be a... Right, no, that's the sort of guy.
Did Pino end up down a Lennon button, everybody at Swansea hated him?
I'm not sure about that, but it was a bit odd after a great season last year that he left midway through the season and he appointed Gary Monk, who was like Lennon, the experience. But, I mean, Michael Loudrop's the sort of guy they wouldn't go for. He's probably... they wouldn't go for a guy that's like a Premier manager. That sort of thing. We stopped doing that sort of thing in the O'Neill years. Getting a guy who's like...
You know, why not?
Money. Because that's no Celtic's way. I mean...
But Owen Coyle, right? We don't want Owen Coyle, right? But Owen Coyle, Jackie McNamara, Paul Hartley...
Paul Lambert.
Sonic Larson.
Paul Lambert. Paul Lambert. Won't he mention?
But these guys would take it if it was offered to them. You know they're going to take it.
But Celtic will always go for the easy option.
So push your bottom and say... As I said, you're always going to Celtic men that will want the job. But push the ball out first.
They should.
If you don't ask, you don't get.
They should, because of the, I know we don't like to talk about them, but because their attendances are so pretty poor, they need to. But here's an interesting thing. The deadline for the season tickets is tomorrow. I think they'd have preferred it. Say, like, if Lennon's leaving never got until after the deadline. I mean, I don't think it'll make that much of a difference. But, I mean, the whole thing... Back to what we were talking about at the start. The whole thing about the timing is odd. And I mean, okay, let's talk about... We haven't talked about this. Let's talk about the statement on the website. They've done the usual thanks to Neil Lennon. All right. Well, but you know what he said? He's going to help to pick his successor.
Aye.
I mean, no, that can't happen. That doesn't work. No, that... Tommy Wright isn't Johnson manager, he's a medium.
I'm going to say something controversial here.
Go.
But I believe that, especially with the fact that he's not getting an audit job and he'll be sitting in the sidelines, I think Neil Lennon would... I don't think he would be 100% gutted if Celtic had a poor season next year under somebody else.
That's just me literally vomiting with anger. How dare you state that Neil, world's greatest Celtic man, Lennon, the guy who sweat blood, green blood for Celtic. How dare you, the guy who beat Bombs and Bullets, get pissed off at Celtic, be well. How dare you? That's, I'm ending the podcast now, goodbye. No, but I mean, I don't know. Back to the timing, I mean, I don't think they know. I mean, it really is odd the way he just left. I mean, I know we've talked about it a lot and how... We haven't really spoken about it. We are actually respect to Lennon for the job he's done, but I'm actually quite pleased he's away. We need a new broom because things were getting awful.
I'm pleased, but at the same time, see, if he was the manager, I wouldn't really care, you know,
I'd be upset.
That was just a level of kind of indifference, say that I'd kind of fallen under Lennon, you know. If we win, great. If we don't, you know, get it.
But is that not as well, though, because, well, we don't play our biggest rivals anymore?
No, I don't think it's that, because I certainly don't. But obviously, I miss, like, the games.
Against who, mate?
Like, Sevco, Zombies, whatever, if they make it, you know, three Rangers.
Aye.
They don't go well this year. No, but like, obviously you missed that morning and, you know...
Do you think Lennon's
career of beating Rangers?
Do you think Lennon misses their games?
Aye.
I think he does. And I mean, even if you look back to it, I mean...
I don't think it's a bad thing to say you're missing the games.
Well, of course.
But I missed the games.
Sure, yeah. But I mean, but you can't say that.
Then people talk, surely you must miss that, because look, now we're picking petty fights with Aberdeen fans and Motherwell fans and stuff like that, and Inverness fans are stealing their drum, but you know, that's the kind of level that it's like almost, we went through like high school, you know, to like gang fights with Rangers, to like petty squabbles in the playground, like Aberdeen fans.
You can't you can't just dismiss a rivalry we had for 130 years nearly. I mean, everything was geared towards their games. They decided who was going to win the league usually. I know that the players love to play in them. I know I think Lennon probably did love them, even though the terrible sticky goes in. People loved that. But I mean,
it brought the best out of them, you know. You seen, but that's the thing as well. I don't miss Rangers. I don't miss them. You know, they don't. I hated them. You know, grew up.
I mean, as well, I just hate missing. I just miss the games.
I miss the games. I'm not going to lie. I miss the games. I'm not coming out and saying that I wanted them put back in the first division or the Premier League. I can't wait for them to come back. Not at all. But you can't say that any Celtic fan can't say it. You know, I say that quite confidently. That they don't miss Old Firm games.
Well, some people will say that though. They don't. They don't miss
that. But you know, for a fact, they're either lying or they're deluded because. Aye. You're not saying you missed them because I'm delighted. That was the best 6 months I can ever remember having a football fan. There's just so many different things that happened to them. You know, it's hilarious. You know, it was like, oh, this guy's coming in to buy them. Oh, no, he isn't. And it was like, you know, then they ended up getting ball and stuff. And it was so funny. It was great. And then obviously, I let it go. You know, and some of it's funny. You know, now looking back. But
people can't let it go.
How can you turn around and say you don't miss Rangers? But. You know, all you do is spend your day on Twitter telling
someone
to keep up the good work.
Wouldn't it surprise me really if Lennon was bored as well? I mean, the Premier League is...
I would say I think there's an element of that.
I mean, we're not even going to be playing Hearts next year, and they're our second biggest rivals. So, I mean, like, the league title, the league quote-unquote race is going to be even duller next season. Maybe it'll be a bit more interesting because it's a new manager. But, I mean... It wouldn't surprise me if he's bold as well as, like, the money thing. I mean, if we didn't get to the Champions League this season, if Lennon was in charge, I mean, I think the calls would be for Lennon to go.
I think he realised that as well.
I think if he'd stayed on this season coming up, would have been his last season, for sure.
Aye, but then, we would have got the thing with Rangers coming back into the Premier League, if they were to... get promoted, which I don't think they will next year, but you would have that kind of always kind of run away for Rangers thing. And then I said to you, if he was going to leave, it would just leave, no go to another job. If he was ever going to leave, it was going to be this summer. But I'm still actually trying to come around to it that he's left, because I've seen obviously the statement he put out, and I think there's obviously, you know, analysing it, there's obviously something wrong. It's got to be a joint statement. It's got to be Celtic of party company with Neil Lennon. Neil Lennon has no party company with Celtic. You know, let's remember who the biggest party is here. And that sentence, it makes you wonder what really has went on. And I'm sure about Neil on Match of the Day 2 or Goals on Sunday or whatever show he's
the World Cup.
On, he'll tell it.
He's going to be a pundit in the World Cup on BBC. So that'll be interesting to see what he says then. I mean,
you could have done a Gus Poyet and turns up and gets shagged for the first talk. Reaction at half time.
That's right. Now, we'll only do a couple more minutes because I don't want my battery to go funny, but do you think he thought he was getting the Rangers job?
Deep down personally, knowing the type, you know, obviously I don't know him personally, but just be going on what he's. I gave out over the last 4 years as a person. I believe that he thought he was in a very good chance. And I think he's resigned today to try and force Norwich's hand. And Norwich have come out and says, do you know what? Malky. And I think Norwich have wanted Malky Mackay. And Norwich might say, Malky Mackay might go to Celtic now.
Aye.
So if they're offer it to somebody else, and they've gave it to Neil Adams. So
that is,
when I heard that
just before we started, I was shocked really that he'd get the job. I mean, it just goes against everything that's been in the press. I know that obviously the press lie and hate Celtic, but I mean, it was the press going about how Lennon's going to leave. he didn't nip it in the bud. All the stuff in the bookies last week, like, wanting to 4-0 to be the Norwich manager. He was doing it at the LMA Awards down in London with all the English press and top English managers last week. Somebody, he must have said something to somebody. And that must have started. That must have started all this, because it wasn't in the Scottish papers. I know I've done media stuff before. You, of course, the next Keith Jackson. Yeah, Keith Jackson, of course, who broke the story today on Twitter. But I mean,
yep.
What
kudos to my fellow journalist Keith for getting the exclusive.
What a guy Jack was. But I mean, he must right, good Tim. He must have said something to somebody, because it was in the English press all the time about Lennon going to Norwich, and it wasn't poo-pooed once at all. He just kept, every interview had he just said, "Oh, that's for another day," or "I'm very flattered, but I'm here as long as I'm told to be here, as long as they want me."
Aye.
So, I mean, he's definitely said something to somebody. Oh, by the way, I should say that before we started recording, Roddy Forsyth, who is a right good hun, Radio 5, Scottish football correspondent, they were talking to Murdo McLeod, and they said to him about who's going to be next manager, and he said that you shouldn't look at Henry Larsson. It's probably going to be either they think it'll probably be Mackay, but Moyes, I think they spoke to Moyes before, and I think he's thinking about going to abroad, probably in case he gets charged with any more fights. And the dreaded Owen Coyle, they're looking at it as well, but I think Mackay, they're saying that it probably won't be Larsson yet, stealing it away, and it's probably going to be Malky. So bear that in mind for when we do the new manager special, whenever that's going to be.
I'd completely forgot what you said before, but I believe that you wanted the Everton job.
Aye, that's what I was going to say.
And you really, really wanted that, and when he went, for about 18 to Atlanta, like 45 on in the space of a day, I thought he was going to get it. And he got it a big hit, but it's kind of spoilt for that day, you know, they don't learn from it, they get worse. And he got it a big knock, he's seen what Martinez has done, and I think that's what, and that, he's seen what Martinez has done, and I think really that is why he wanted the Norwich job, the championship, because he's seen that as his, he thought, perfect striker. You need to score goals in the championship, and Gary Hooper will score goals. So, to me, I think they'll be fine next year if they play Hooper, the way he should be played. But I don't think this guy is going to play Hooper. I think Hooper could probably maybe leave, and he might get himself another team in the championship in the Premier League. But I think Lennon, he wanted Everton. What was your other job? So, came up with a few last year.
Everton especially, because it was in the press, and he'd done that strange speech at the last game of the season where he just said, "I'll see you in the cup final," and didn't mention anything about planning for the future or anything. But I mean, I think his ego did take a knock. The fact, if that was the time he was ever going to get a job in England, it would have been then, because his stock was...
Everton is quite a big club as well, you know. It's
I know.
A good job to get, you know. And it's a very, very good job.
He was at like the peak of his powers because of the Barca win.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think deep down he believed he was going to get it. Rather than, you know, that way you go for a job interview and you know you think you've got it, and to get told that they've interviewed, you know, 200 other people, you know, you've not got it. I think he really deep down believed that he was going to, it was just a matter of time before, you know, Bill Kenwright phoned Peter Law and said, "We want your man."
Right, well, I think that should be the end of it for this special pod. So, and this momentous day. So, hopefully I'll have a statement to read out for...
Just before you go?
Yes.
Do you believe that the Celtic manager's job is a more attractive position for before Neil Lennon came in till now?
God. Wrong. I don't know, because it was different then.
I think the biggest mistake was Mowbray. I think the job was still attractive when Stratton left it.
And Mowbray by far, aye.
I think that appointment appointment was the worst he could have made, because I think when Anil left it, it was an attractive position, but Anil had left a big squad there. Stratton had left a good nucleus, a good team, a team that had won three leagues in a row. It was an attractive position, and they took the cheap option, and it backfired.
Not
even though they ended up paying about 3 million but
no,
you know, still an
attractive job, I'd say.
But that's what I'm saying. Lennon got it under the fact that I don't think anybody, you know, outstanding wanted it. You know, but I think Lennon's left it without the Rangers part. I think Lennon has left the job slight. I would say he's left it more attractive than what he took it in. And for that, you know, he deserves a lot of credit.
Aye, well, so that's the last word, Neil Lennon.
And good luck to him wherever he ends up.
A fond farewell to the great man who we'll probably end up seeing at Parkhead one day again. So,
I'm authorised by bronze outside
the Yes.
You know what they should do? See that John Stein statue? They should just join another statue to Neil Lennon touching the
bottom. Right, so... we'll be back with the new manager special, and then I'll need to work out a way.
I don't think it's too long away.
Maybe no, and then I'll sort out like other pod things. But thanks for being on it, Bruce, and I'll this incredible day, and I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks, or possibly even next week. Hail, hail.
Not a problem. Hail, hail.
Right, thanks for listening. We'll be back with the next podcast when we find out who the next manager is, which will probably be quite soon. Follow us on Twitter, @thesnarlingmen. Speak to you soon.